Let us pray. Comforting God, anoint us with the oil of your healing. Honor us with the perfume of your grace. Transform us with the anointing of your Spirit. Wash us with your word and steady our hearts in you. Amen. A New Testament reading from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. Whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in death. The word of God for the people of God. Please stand for the Psalter, Psalm 126, is found on page 847 of the Blue Hymnal. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the Negeb.
May those who sow tears reap the crops of joy.
Those who go forth weeping, bearing the seed for sowing,
shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from John's Gospel in the 12th chapter. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus went to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had just raised from the dead. And there they held a dinner for him. Martha served. Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. And during the dinner, Mary took a pound of expensive perfume made of pure nard and anointed Jesus' feet with it. And she dried his feet with her hair. And the fragrance of the perfume filled the whole house. Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray Jesus, said, "Why wasn't this perfume sold? It was worth 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He's the one who kept the common purse, and he stole from it all the time. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She has done this for my burial." The poor you will always have with you. You will not always have me. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can imagine the joy that was gathered around that table. Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. And despite the intense sorrow of that loss, there is this incredible joy, this power that Jesus has. So I'm sure there is a lot of animated talk, maybe some singing, a lot of lifting of glasses and clinking of mugs as people are toasting Jesus and thrilled to be in the presence of someone so wonderful, so inspiring. Martha expresses her joy the way she always does. She serves a great meal. Lazarus, from whom we never hear a single word in any of the Gospels, expresses his joy, as he always does, very quietly. And Mary, in her own way, Mary is the one who always sat at Jesus' feet and listened and learned from him. So Mary hears what's in his voice and sees what's in his eyes that other people miss. Mary remembers just recently when Jesus came to Lazarus' tomb and she beat on his chest and said, "If you had been here when he was so sick, he wouldn't have died." And then he looked at her with this deep, terrible, loving look that said without any words, "Well, yes, he would have. I can't save him from death, nor you, nor me. But if we love, we will die first, and then we'll be raised to new life." She heard that, and she still hears that echoing in her ears, and she sees it in his eyes. And she hears what in his voice none of the other disciples seem able to pick up on. He's been telling them he's going to die. He knows perfectly well there are people in the religious and the political establishment who want to see him destroyed, and they will kill him. And he knows that, and he can see his death marching toward him day by day. And she knows that, and nobody else seems to get that. They're all singing songs and making toasts, and she sees that right now, Jesus is suffering. Already, Jesus is dying. So already, she will bury him. So she gets a pound, the entire jar of this very expensive ointment, and she pours it over Jesus' feet. She just anoints his whole feet, and the oil drips down on his feet onto the floor. All of her love and all of her sorrow poured out on him, because that's how much she loves him. And then she dries his feet with her hair, as if somehow she could just wipe up all of his sorrow, if she could just take his suffering into herself, as if she could just bury him in her love. And it soaks into her hair and her hands and her sleeves and the dress where her hair falls. And the fragrance of her love for him fills the whole house. Judas breaks the mood. He attacks her for this extravagant, prodigal generosity. And Jesus defends her, partly because Jesus always defends anybody's generosity, no matter what kind or what measure. But he also defends her because of this miracle. In all of his thoughts about Lazarus' death and what that's like and how we lose one another, and all of his awareness of his own death that is coming closer and closer day by day. Mary has delivered him into the present moment. In this moment, here, now, Lazarus is not dying and he is not dying. He's simply being cared for. And so he defends her by bringing the disciples into the present moment. The poor you will have with you. You will not always have me here now. And he also defends her because this is such a gift. The feel of that ointment on his feet is so good. The touch of her hands on these weary feet, this bruised skin, these tired muscles, as she works that oil into his feet. He's so hungry for this. In this moment, those feet that soon will be pierced, those feet that are going to have to bear such a terrible burden, those weary feet right now are at peace. He is safe. He is beloved. He is saved. And so he says, she has done this for my burial. In this moment, he experiences what will be the last time almost that anybody ever does anything kind for him for the rest of his life. They will betray. They will run. There are those who want him killed and those who are glad to carry out the sentence. But for this moment, someone has left her story and entered his and simply loved him. In a few days, when Passover comes, and he shares that last meal with his beloved friends, he will know then how important it is that he wash their feet. That he take those very feet that will shuffle and sidestep and stumble and fall. Those feet that will run away and hide. But also those very feet that in time will bear good news on the mountain. The feet that will take the good news from house to house, from street to street. The feet that will bear the gospel from country to country. And before they are done, they too will face their own awful last journey. But before then, he will anoint them and bless them. And you too. You will have your awful journeys. There will be times when you will feel doom coming. There are times when you will face struggles and troubles. There are times when you are lost or lonely or in despair. And it will be hard to trust. Sometimes it will be impossible to feel. But it will be true that the beloved will kneel at your feet and pour out such extravagant love for you because you are actually worth it. And a voice will come up in your head that says, no, this is not right. That's too extravagant. You listen and you will hear the voice of Jesus saying, oh, no, it's not. It's just right. Because that's how much the beloved loves you and will kneel at your feet and anoint them with all of her joy and sorrow and wipe your feet with her hair as if she could just take into yourself all of your sorrows, as if she could just bury you in her love. if it's hard to trust that, you can at least practice saying thank you anyway. And you can wash one another's feet. Because sometimes it's only in giving that gift that we know what we've received. Maybe it was only on that last night as he washed the disciples' feet that Jesus really knew the gift that Mary had given him. The beloved kneels at your feet. Hold still long enough to let her anoint your feet with such love that the fragrance fills the whole world. Anoint one another, and the fragrance of that love will change all creation. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, God of infinite love, give us the grace to let you love us so extravagantly and to love one another, to reach out to all those who hurt, and to pour out our hearts for their sake. Gracious God, we thank you for the love that you show us in Christ. For the miracle that Christ pours out love so that we might see how you love us. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.